Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as The New York Times, The News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the website onthisday.com. Question number one. It was on this very day back in 1958 that Little Richard entered Oakwood College in Huntsville, Alabama. What was the reason this rock star gave for this life change? Hint, Little Richard was known for the early rock and roll classics Tutti Frutti and Good Golly Miss Molly. So, why'd he up and go to college on this day in 58? Was it A, he wanted to earn a degree in classical music? Was it B, he wanted to get a degree in political science and become a politician? Or was it C, he wanted to give up rock and roll so that he could serve God? Or was it D, he wanted to get a draft deferment? Little Richard, 1958. And question number two, it was on this day, 20 years later, 1978, that the singer Ted Nugent did what? Hint, Nugent is known for the song Cat Scratch Fever and for his outspoken support of conservative politicians. So, what did he do on this day back in 1978? Was it A, he autographed a man's arm with a Bowie knife? Was it B, he played the guitar while it was on fire and he was on his back on the stage? Was it C, he lost that year's National Guitar Hero Tournament held in Los Angeles? Or was it D, he became a contestant on the TV show The Apprentice, hosted by Donald Trump? Ted Nugent, 1978. The answers to these two important musical trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com, and today is the weekend of January the 26th. Well, it was on this day back in 1722 that composer Johann Ernst Bach was born. And it was 34 years after Bach's birth, back in 1756, that composer Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart was born. 1700s for both those composers. In folk music news, we have this from pinecone.org, published on January the 16th, 2018, announcing this upcoming concert, The Wailin' Jennies, presented in partnership with Broadway Series South, this coming Saturday, February the 3rd, 2018, at 7:30 p.m., Raleigh Memorial Auditorium, Duke Energy Center for the Performing Arts, 2 East South Street in Raleigh. Pinecone favorites, the Wailin' Jennies, are coming back to Raleigh, and they have a new album to share. One of today's most respected folk groups, the Wailin' Jennies, are releasing their first new recording in 6 years. 15. This long-awaited follow-up to Bright Morning Stars finds the trio bringing their passion and stellar musicianship to a carefully curated collection of some of their favorite songs, including tracks by Tom Petty, Emmylou Harris, and Dolly Parton. For members Nikki Mehta, Ruth Moody and Heather Masse, 15 celebrates a 15-year musical partnership that has created 3 award-winning Billboard-charting studio albums and 1 magical live recording and brought them a loyal worldwide fan base. Steeped in the artistry and elegance that has defined their career, 15 presents the Wailing Jennies at their very best, opening with their stark yet exquisite rendering of Old Churchyard, sung a cappella over a single droning viola tone. The album then shifts to a gorgeous full-band acoustic version of Tom Petty's Wildflowers. Other highlights include their moving interpretation of Emmylou Harris's Boulder to Birmingham, their update of Paul Simon's Loves Me Like a Rock from a woman's point of view, and songs by Jane Syberry, Warren Zevon, and Patty Griffin. They also do an achingly beautiful a cappella version of Dolly Parton's Light of a Clear Blue Morning that resonates as a call to hope in these troubled political times. And in classical music news, we have this article entitled, Did You Hear About Brahms' Boyhood? All Gigs and Jam Tartlets? Playing in Hamburg dives, poor Brahms was exposed to certain scenes that stuck for life. This article is written by Angus McPherson on December 20th, 2017, and published in limelightmagazine.com.au. Brahms' relationships with women were troubled at best. While he more or less worshipped Clara Schumann, his attitude to others he encountered was often less than enlightened. I have a powerful prejudice against women pianists and anxiously avoid listening to them, he wrote in a letter to Ferdinand Hiller. Johannes Brahms, English composer Ethel Smith, observed this at first hand. To see him with Lily Walk, Frau Schumann, and her daughters, or other links with his great predecessors, was to see him at his best. So gentle and respectful was his bearing. In fact, to Frau Schumann, he behaved as might a particularly delightful old-world son, she wrote in her memoir. His ways with other women folk, or to use the detestable word forever on his lips, Weibsbilder, were less admirable. If they did not appeal to him, he was incredibly awkward and ungracious. If they were pretty, he had an unpleasant way of leaning back in his chair, pouting out his lips, stroking his mustache, and staring at them as greedy boys stares at jam tartlets. Brahms' own excuse for this attitude towards women was bad experiences as a teenager in Hamburg. And in blues music news, we have this article entitled, Take Me to the River, Memphis Soul and R&B Review. This is put on by Duke Performances, duke.edu. Memphis musicians William Bell, Bobby Rush, and Don Bryant are 3 of this country's great elder statesmen of soul music. Recording for labels in Memphis and elsewhere in the South, they produced a bevy of acclaimed albums and helped turn out hits for the likes of Otis Redding, Tina Turner, and Al Green. With a saltier, grittier sensibility than their Motown neighbors up north, the Memphis sound these artists created was recently featured in Take Me to the River, a musical documentary that took home the Audience Award at South by Southwest Film Festival and helped put this review on the road. Soul singer, architect of the Stack Record sound, and 2017 Grammy winner, William Bell, is joined by ribald blues showman and fellow 2017 Grammy winner, Bobby Rush, and gospel and soul great Don Bryant of High Records, all backed by Willie Mitchell's legendary high rhythm section, the heartbeat behind Al Green's biggest hits. The Carolina Theater of Durham's musical tour of the rich soul music legacy of Memphis, Tennessee, and this was presented this week, led some of the most adept practitioners. As a co-presentation of Duke Performances and Carolina Theater of Durham, and that was held this past week.
Yes! Send her home to me.
And in music research and technology, we have this article entitled, When Warriors Come Home, singer Connie Francis works to heal the psychic scars of combat. This article is written by Connie Francis and published in the January 2018 AARP magazine. My father couldn't join the army because he had flat feet, and that always bugged him. He had wanted to serve, and he taught me how much we owe the troops. During the Vietnam War, I toured with the USO and visited field hospitals. Some of the injuries were horrific. I remember sitting on the bed of one soldier whose head was all bandaged on one side. He asked, "Would you sing My Buddy?" So I sang it for him. Then he told me the doctors had said half his face was gone. I told him, "Well, the half that's showing looks pretty good to me." I could see what it meant to him to hear that. It was almost a spiritual happening. There was no such thing then as post-traumatic stress disorder. It hadn't been given a name yet. Soldiers who came home with PTSD symptoms such as agitation or anxiety would be treated with drugs for those symptoms. Even today, it gets misdiagnosed or treated with medicines that don't work. A lot of these drugs can cause suicidal thoughts. It's right there on the warning labels. I know something about PTSD. When I was on tour in New York in 1974, I was raped at knife point in a motel. It was terrifying. I spent 2.5 hours negotiating for my life. After that, I couldn't sleep. I saw the attacker's face everywhere. I was hospitalized. They thought I had bipolar illness. I took lithium, but all it did was keep me lying on a couch. Finally, I was diagnosed with PTSD and got the treatment I needed. I'm a big believer in counseling for PTSD. When it isn't treated, it can cause a lot of damage. Yet combat veterans often don't talk about what they've seen or how it makes them feel. They just let the feelings build up. I've always participated in shows and fundraisers for our troops, but now I'm working with a hospital to create support groups for vets. I want to encourage them to share their experiences. This effort has given me a lot of energy and hope. We all have it in us to make a difference in someone else's life. The more you help others, the more it enriches your life too. Connie Francis, 79, lives in Florida. She gained international fame with such hits as Who's Sorry Now and Where the Boys Are. And in rock and pop music news, we have this from Parade Magazine, Parade Picks. published on January the 21st, 2018, entitled Get Your Grammy On. The Grammy Awards will air live from New York City, the event's first NYC telecast since 2003, on January 28th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time on CBS. Whether you're a fan of Bruno Mars or Metallica, both nominated, isn't it time to make some musical magic of your own? The best parts. Brooklyn and Bailey. Since welcoming viewers in 2013, identical twins Brooklyn and Bailey have amassed nearly 5 million subscribers and hundreds of millions of views on their YouTube channel, which stars the 18-year-old Texas-based siblings in everything from crafting clips to back-to-school style shoots. Visit parade.com/bestparts for some of our favorite Brooklyn and Bailey moments. Cheers! Grammy winner John Legend has his own line of wine. Legend Vineyard exclusive wines, LVE's Varietals, such as Chardonnay and Cab, say, are all served, like Legend, in perfect harmony. Starting at $45, LVEwines.com. Visit parade.com/celebritywines for a gallery of wines produced by your favorite stars. Well, maybe you're not ready for your epic guitar solo yet, but that doesn't mean you can't give it a go like Don Ho with this tropical pineapple ukulele. $32. Go to uncommongoods, that's one word, .com. This year marks the 30th anniversary of the Tom Hanks classic Big, recreates the movie's iconic heart and soul scene with the 8-foot-long piano mat, which can sound like a piano or other instruments or accompany your favorite MP3s. $65 at Walmart.com. Still wearing the wristband from your last show? Don't be that person. Swap it out for this chic leather Cast of Vices concert wristband. It may not get you into the VIP section, but it's a serious upgrade. $55 from ahalife.com. Show your vinyl love with the digital Deco turntable by artist Samantha Carlisle. The 12-by-12-inch canvas is finished in polished glass, so the art will stand the test of time, just like your record collection. $140. Go to zgallery.com. $105 million. Beyonce, a 22-time Grammy winner, was the top-earning female artist of 2017. Go to parade.com/earn to share your salary and possibly be featured in our upcoming What People Earn issue.
See for me that her hair's hanging down. It curls and falls all down her breast. See for me that her hair's hanging down. That's the way I remember her best.
Johnny Cash's duet with Bob Dylan on Girl from the North Country introduces today's local music news. This is written by Stacy Chandler, published in the News and Observer on the 21st of January 2018, entitled Raleigh-based band will recreate Cash's legendary At Folsom Prison album. In 1968, it wasn't standard procedure for a musician to release a live album. It definitely wasn't the norm to book a show in a prison playing to inmates instead of a paying audience. Then again, Johnny Cash never was one to follow someone else's rules as he walked the line. The format, the setting, and of course the music is why, 50 years after the release of At Folsom Prison, the album is considered a classic. And it's why local Cash tribute band, the Johnny Folsom Four, plans to recreate the album's recording, announcements, banter, mess-ups and all, January 27th at the Ha River Ballroom in Saxapaha. At a rehearsal earlier this month, the Raleigh-based Johnny Folsom Four practiced some songs from the set, working through tempo changes and listening carefully to parts of the At Folsom Prison album, where Cash forgets a lyric, someone makes a flub on an instrumental part, or inmates react to the show. Mistakes like that would get edited out of today's live albums, but they stayed put on At Folsom Prison. That's the beauty of it, though, David Gresham on Telecaster guitar observed to his bandmates. They included David Burney on lead vocals and guitar, the man in black, in other words, Randall Benefield on drums, and Tom Mills on bass, along with Eleanor Jones on vocals as June Carter Cash. They nodded in agreement as he played back one flub via his smartphone. You've probably seen photos from the 1968 performance inside California's Folsom State Prison. Cash, dressed in black suit and loose-collared white shirt, looking lean and alert after starting to surmount a struggle with drug abuse, plays his guitar while perched on a white stool at the edge of a stage. Only a lip a few inches high separates him from the inmates, and he places a foot on this boundary almost as if to declare there's no barrier at all. In one iconic shot, he leans over the edge to shake hands with an inmate in the front row. The album's cover image shows a close-up of Cash's face as he sings into a microphone, his expression calm as two rivulets of sweat roll down under his sideburn. While the Johnny Folsom Four plans to replicate the performance as closely as possible and will certainly dress the part as they do at all their shows, they're not and never have been out to win a look-alike contest. Bernie confessed to dyeing his salt and pepper hair black once, long ago, but said he just hated it and shaved it off. We didn't start it to be a tribute band. We started it to play his music, Bernie said. Listen, nobody sounds like Johnny Cash. That's why he's Johnny Cash. But of the people that I've heard who do try to do a tribute to him, I don't think anybody gets closer than we do. I don't mean that to sound too arrogant, but I think we get real close. And that's what is most important to us, is to do that. Before Cash appears, the inmates hear a song from Carl Perkins, embodied at this show by local guitarist Steve Howell, and then the Statler Brothers, at this show the Taters, a roots pop band from Richmond. Just as Cherry did in Folsom State Prison, the crowd will be asked, for recording purposes, to hold their applause until they hear those four magical words, "Hello, I'm Johnny Cash." In 1968, once those formalities were dispensed with, things got loose, and something magical happened as the tape rolled. He's off the cuff, and then you hear that energy from the prisoners, which I think is still as fresh now as it was in 68, said Bernie. This is him playing for the prisoners. He didn't play Ring of Fire. He didn't even play Walk the Line, Bernie pointed out. He wanted to connect with them. He wanted to show them he knew what it felt like. So what are the details? Who? Johnny Folsom Four, recreating Johnny Cash's At Folsom Prison album in its 50th anniversary. When? 8 p.m. Saturday, January 27th. Where? Haw River Ballroom, Saxapaha, North Carolina. Information? Phone 336-525-2314. Or go to Haw River Ballroom, that's one word, .com for more information and tickets. So how'd you do on today's musical trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, it was on this day back in 1958 that Little Richard entered Oakwood College in Huntsville, Alabama. What was the reason he gave for this life change? Hint, Little Richard was known for the early rock and roll classics Tutti Frutti and Good Golly Miss Molly. So why'd he up and go to college on this day in 58? Was it A, he wanted to earn a degree in classical music? Was it B, he wanted to get a degree in political science and become a politician? Was it C, he wanted to give up rock and roll so he could serve God? Or was it D, he wanted to get a draft deferment? Correct answer? Answer C. Little Richard announced that he was entering Oakwood College in Huntsville, Alabama on this day in 1958 because he wanted to give up rock and roll so that he could serve God. As noted in the 2001 Rolling Stone Encyclopedia of Rock and Roll, Little Richard in 1957, at the height of his success, suddenly quit his rock career after a tour of Australia. He claimed that a vision of the apocalypse came to him in a dream, and that he saw his own damnation. In his authorized biography, he tells the story of a plane flight during which the overheated engines appeared in the darkness of night to be on fire. He prayed to God and promised that if the plane landed safely, he would change his ways. A few days later, while performing outdoors, he caught a glimpse of the Russian satellite Sputnik, and days after that, a plane that he was scheduled to have flown in crashed. Interpreting these incidents as divine signs that he should change his ways, Richard entered Oakwood College in Huntsville, Alabama, where he received a B.A. and was purportedly ordained a minister in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. In 1959, he recorded his first religious album, God is Real, and Little Richard did not return to rock until 1964. After a failed attempt to gain a major audience on the evangelical circuit with his gospel recordings, he tried to resurrect his rock, but the world was already switching its attention to the newer sounds of the Beatles. Ironically, Little Richard was one of Paul McCartney's idols. And the answer to our second question, it was on this day 20 years after that, 1978, that singer Ted Nugent did what? Hint, Nugent is known for the song Cat Scratch Fever and for his outspoken support of conservative politicians and causes. So what did he do on this day in 78? Well, did he autograph a man's arm with a Bowie knife? Did he play the guitar while it was on fire and he was on his back on the stage? Was it that he lost that year's National Guitar Hero Tournament held in L.A., or did he become a contestant on the TV show The Apprentice, hosted by Donald Trump? What'd he do in 78? Correct answer. Answer A, he autographed a man's arm with a Bowie knife. Turns out that Nugent initially gained fame as the lead guitarist of the Amboy Dukes, a band formed in 1963 that played psychedelic rock and hard rock. After playing with the Amboy Dukes, he entered on a solo career. Nugent is also noted for his conservative political views and his lifelong advocacy of hunting and gun ownership rights. He's a board member of the National Rifle Association and a strong supporter of the Republican Party. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review, and as we leave you, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Content of this program intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Give me a call at 919-832-5138 if you have a suggestion. So long, until next time.